Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Capri Global Capital Limited, hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravikant Bhat from Capri Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Capri Global Q1 FY22 results conference call. We shall be starting today with the opening remarks by our MD, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, followed by the detailed remarks by our Group ED and CFO, Raj Ahuja, on the business and financial performance during Q1 FY22. I'll hand over the call to our MD, Mr. Rajesh Sharma.
Good morning, everyone. I once again take the pleasure in welcoming you all to discuss Capri Global's Q1 FY22 financial results. We declared our audited consolidated results for Q1 FY22 yesterday. I hope you have found time to go through the earnings release. The Q1 results for financial, in particular, have been anticipated both with a mix of caution as well as a strong hope that the recent stress events induced by the severe second wave of COVID-19 shall prove to the transitory and better ways, better days for growth and earnings would be lie ahead. While we at CGCL have also faced challenges, I'm happy to state that our optimism remains firm. In my remark ahead, I shall dwell upon the key operational highlights for the quarter gone by and also give some more objective flavor on a few business aspects we discussed in Q4 FY21 results call. By the end of the call today, I hope we shall pass on our optimism to the larger investor community. When we last spoke in late May, we were already in the midst of second lockdown, due to which we had completely halted disbursal activity in the month of April and May. The challenges of lockdown was compounded by a large number of CGCL's employees also testing positive for COVID-19. To ensure employees' well-being and morale, we ensured timely financial and non-financial help was available to all the employees. We also tied up with the private healthcare providers to vaccinate eligible employees at workplace. Over 50% of CGCL employees are already vaccinated with at least first dose of COVID-19 vaccine. In the second COVID-19 wave, we have been quick on our heels to resume operations at all levels. In our last conversation, I had mentioned we expected meaningful pickup in businesses only in H2 FY22. As you may have noted, we have already made a beginning towards the same with the resumption of disbursal in the month of June. In fact, the entire disbursal in Q1 FY22 reflects activity only for the month of June. Discussions around the possibility of a third COVID-19 wave continue to attract attention of policymakers and people in general. Presently, we are cautiously optimistic and have accordingly positioned ourselves for the incremental business. We are avoiding micro sub-segment like hospitality, travel and tourism, et cetera, and focusing more on essential services segment, which we believe shall weather better wave-induced lockdown. Out of the eight states where we operate in, only parts of Maharashtra, particularly the districts in western Maharashtra, continue to witness persistent and elevated level of COVID-19 infections, with the test positivity rate significantly higher than the national average. The local administration has therefore kept these areas under continued lockdown with minimal daily business activity. All other key states like Gujarat, MP, Rajasthan, UP, Delhi, NCR, Punjab and Haryana have been continuously softening pace of new infections and are witnessing a slow but steady return to normalcy. The SIDBI MSME Pulse report, which compiles trend for the MSME segment, has noted in its latest edition the improving growth trends in the segment. The micro sub-segment of rupees 10 lakh to 15 lakh, where CGCL is operating, has witnessed the healthiest growth of 7% YoY amongst all MSME sub-segments. Other lag indicators like credit inquiry volumes, credit activity by regions, et cetera, indicates a pickup in activity from April 2021 lows. we see these as favorable pointers for an important product segment of CGCL. We therefore believe we are in course of repeat our AUM growth performance of FY 2021. We are targeting at least 20% YoY growth in AUM in FY 2022. From a medium-term perspective, we believe we are now at an inflection point. Our AUM shall cross rupees 50 billion level in Q2 FY 2022. We have set ourselves a base case AUM CAGR target of 22% between FY 2022 to FY 2027. In a more optimistic scenario, we would like to achieve a CAGR of up to 27%. Our growth shall be organic and at present does not involve any plan of inorganic growth through mergers or acquisitions. MSME and housing finance shall continue to be the key growth driver of our organic growth. We firmly believe we have carved a niche in the construction finance segment. Our performance in the construction finance segment over past 5 years speaks for itself. Keeping our overall risk tolerance in mind, we are willing to see the construction finance portfolio in a secular growth trajectory, although the growth rate shall remain below the headline AUM growth rate. During Q4 FY 2021, we had initiated distribution of third-party product in car loan segment. We currently have tied up with the three leading commercial banks to distribute their car loan product for a fee consideration. This way, we'll be able to utilize our branch network and our people to distribute the same. We are distributing this product from all our locations and have continued to build a strong momentum in sourcing. As of June 2021, we achieved disbursal of rupees 100 crore plus and look forward to sharing some specifics on the business in future conversations this year. Our capital adequacy level remains one of the best in the peer group. We are well capitalized to meet our medium-term growth targets. As part of liquidity management, we continued to prepay costlier borrowing in Q1 FY 2022. The treasury is tasked with short-term deployment of surplus funds and it tapped some creditworthy short-term opportunities. We opened 4 new branches during Q1 FY 2022, taking the branch count to 89. As we speak, the branch count has further increased to 92. We have begun deploying the fresh resources hired in Q4 FY 2021 and have further added to our headcount in Q1 FY 2022. Our total headcount increased from 1,945 in Q4 FY 2021 to 1,966 in Q1 FY 2022. To sum it up, we believe we have managed to navigate another challenging quarter well. Like previous occasions, I remain hopeful. We shall have stories of progressive improvements to share in our future conversations this year. With this, I would now hand over the call to our Group CFO, Raj Ahuja.
Thank you, Rajesh. Hello, everybody. This is Raj Ahuja, Group CFO at Capri Global. I shall be presenting the key financial performance highlights of quarter one FY 2022 now. Wherever I am not specific, all reference shall be to the consolidated financials. I shall start with the business highlights first. Our consolidated disbursals in our three main products, which is MSME, housing finance, and construction finance, though declined quarter on quarter, but was up 7 times year on year. Our total AUM touched 49.5 billion with a marginally positive momentum of 2% increase quarter on quarter and a more robust 22% growth year on year. We do not securitize any loan assets. As such, we do not carry any off-balance sheet AUM. As noted earlier by Rajesh, our lending activity was suspended in the month of April and May, and we resumed our operations only in June 21. As such, the AUM momentum can be said to be reflective of just the month of June's operational activity. MSME AUM increased 24% year-on-year. Housing finance AUM increased 33% year-on-year, while construction finance AUM showed a decline of 10% year-on-year. This is in line with our business strategy on the various business segments. Indirect retail AUM of 3.2 billion was largely flat quarter-on-quarter, but up 3 times year-on-year. This indirect AUM is inflated due to exposure in loans against securities of 2.6 billion. This is a short-term deployment of funds and shall run off in first half of FY 22 itself. You may refer to slides 5 and 6 of the investor deck to understand the quarterly trend in disbursements and AUM respectively. We continue to hold PTCs worth 1.73 billion rupees, representing a pool of affordable home loans. that is classified under investments and not under AUM. We had budgeted this pool in quarter 4 of FY21, which carries a credit enhancement of rupees 596 million, which represents roughly 30% of the pool. The outstanding in this pool has since run down, and the current outstanding is rupees 1.5 billion. PTCs are shown as a part of investment, which I just mentioned earlier. The granularity in business segments in terms of average ticket size, LTV ratios, and geographical distribution remains mostly unaffected. Overall, there is no chunkiness in exposures, and individual data is clustered around the mean. Please refer to slides 12 to 14 for segmental information on the same. The borrowing declines 4.4% quarter on quarter, and now it stands at 36 billion, as we repaid around 10.2 billion of our borrowings in quarter 1 FY22, even as our incremental requirement remains tepid. We have an aggregate rupees 9 billion in undrawn lines of credit available with us. In addition to that, we have fresh lines of credit sanctioned to us in quarter 1 of FY22, which stood at around 2 billion. As a prudent measure, we shall continue to rely on medium-term borrowings in the form of term loans and to a lesser extent NCDs for funding our balance sheet. We shall continue to avoid money market instruments. Our ALM buckets are well managed with inflows exceeding outflows in all maturity buckets, both in the short-term ALM matching and as well as the long-term ALM. Coming to the earnings, I shall speak on the core earnings first. Our NII, net interest income, which was impacted by interest, income receivables and negative carry on funds in quarter 4 of FY21. It shows resilience in quarter 1 FY22, increased 19% year-on-year and 20% quarter-on-quarter in quarter 1 of FY22. We are reporting an overall yield of 14.6% on AUM. This excludes the yield on PTCs and other short-term treasury investments. This compares with 14.9% in quarter 4 FY21. And 16.1% in quarter 4 of FY21. The decline in loan yields reflects the general slide in segmental yields observed over the past few quarters. Slide 8 carries the periodical trend in the segmental yields across segments and overall. We experienced continued softening of cost of funds during quarter 1 FY22. The cost of funds during quarter 4 declined 10 bps quarter on quarter and 170 bps year-on-year, and now it stands at 8.4%. Spreads weakened 20 bps quarter-on-quarter to 6.2, but improved 20 bps over quarter 1 of FY21. We expect spreads to stay stable going forward in the similar range. As part of managing our cost of funds and given our comfortable liquidity position, we shall prefer to prepay obligations wherever it is feasible, contractually and from the liquidity point of view. The cost-income ratio softened to 35.9% in quarter 1 FY22 from 47.3% in quarter 4 of FY21. But this was higher than what reported in quarter 1 of FY21 at 27.2%. The year-on-year increase in the cost-income ratio is reflective of the full impact of the recruitments done during quarter 4 of FY21. We shall continue to hire in line with our branch expansion requirements during the rest of FY22 also. And that might impact the cost to some extent. Credit costs, including write-offs, stood at 181 million, which is around 150 bps on the average AUM. This was lower than 203 million reported in quarter 1 FY21 and rupees 227 million reported in quarter 4 of FY21. Our total ECL provision now stands at 1.31 billion. And this contains an overlay provision of roughly 209 million, which is created on the basis of our estimation of the COVID-related provisions. We shall continue creating small buffers through overlay provisions to cushion any future impacts on asset quality as we move forward. As a result of all the above, the quarter 1 FY22 net profits increased 69% quarter on quarter and 16% year-on-year, and now in this quarter it stands at 459 million. I shall now turn to the asset quality. Our gross stage 3 assets stood at 3.4% and net stage 3 ratio at 80 bps. We consider the entire stock of ECL provision to compute net stage 3 ratio. After the Supreme Court ruling in March 21 on asset quality classification, there are no accounts in standstill classification today. The gross stage 3 ratio is reflective of the stress from erstwhile pro forma NPAs. Our total restructured book now stands at 2038 million versus 1840 million in quarter 4 of FY21. The MSME book contributed rupees 1952 million and housing finance 86 million to the restructuring book. The aggregate restructuring book now stands at 4.1% of our AUM. There are no restructured accounts in rupees 11.9 billion construction finance and indirect retail lending book. Pipeline for restructuring in MSME or housing is thin. We do not expect to add meaningfully to the current restructured book. As such, we are likely to remain below our initial quarter 4 FY21 estimates of 100 or 200 bips of addition to restructuring book under the resolution framework 2. Outlook for FY22. In summary, the challenges posed by COVID-19 are very much here in the second year of pandemic. Like everyone, we are hopeful of vaccinations and other breakthroughs to contribute to normalizing life. But as pragmatic business managers, we remain watchful of the overall scenario. We had stated in quarter 4 FY21 earnings call that FY22 shall be one of the managing P&L challenges, while second half of the FY22 is likely to present better growth opportunities. We have seen the same playing out in quarter 2 of FY22. Credit costs could stay elevated and may get an opportunity to taper only in quarter 4 of FY22. In this backdrop, I would like to reiterate CGCL has amongst the strongest capital adequacy ratios at 37.5%, a robust core operating profit, and multiple liability relationships to fund its growth. We therefore remain confident of our growth trajectory over medium term. With this, I shall conclude my remarks. We are open to take questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shania Nair from Excel Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes,
you are. So, do you feel with the emergence of fintech and banks already offering better rates, the competition is getting more fierce? How do you weave off this competition? Also, what are you doing in terms of leveraging technology to enhance capabilities to improve CAPEX as many of your peers have already stepped up their game on the tech front?
So, if we talk about fintech are operating purely in the unsecured space and they are catering to that segment which is able to give their documentation and data. Whereas at Capri, we are focusing on self-employed non-professional with no income proof customers like small kirana store, maybe a small tailoring shop or a woman-led group making snacks and supplying to a few places. So these are the businesses we are funding in Tier 3, Tier 4 towns. And we believe these are businesses which can be undertaken by touch and technology mix of both. Unless you meet the customer, you visit them, you understand by personal discussion, you cannot do underwriting. So the segment what we cater and what fintech are going to do is entirely different. And as far as use of technology is concerned, we are using loan management, loan origination system. We have in-house data analytics team. We have recently hired a CTO to further enhance our technology stack and changing few aspects. Further, we have using best of the consultant, including KPMG and BCG, to improve our processes and to use wherever we can use the technology and processing part. So front end, we cannot use the technology entirely the way fintech do. So reason being, the segment is entirely different. But extensively, we are using technology wherever we can in terms of processing, in terms of enabling our collection team with the tablets and issuing the e-receipt, onboarding the customer using video KYC. All those things we are already using it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, I have one more question for you. So smaller and affordable housing is seeing a far bit of traction since June, especially in Tier 2 and Tier 3. So how has been the demand for housing in for Capri since then, and when do you see things like they will normalize? Also, salaried borrowers are at 46%. Does this mean that this will be a shift from a strategy to tap banking the unbanked? Will spreads reduce here going forward, according to you?
So June onwards, already activity in Tier 3, Tier 4 town where majority of branches are have been picked up and disbursement has started. So whether be it MSME or be affordable housing, we have seen a good demand coming up. And if we talk about salaried segment, I think with the more funds we are getting from NHB at a much lower rate, about 3%, and where we can earn about 6% spread, we are offering to even salaried class formal segment as well. So I believe formal, informal salary segment in times to come may go up to 60%. And remaining 40% in housing still continue to remain about self-employed non-professional. But we are seeing a good traction, and despite we have seen the lockdown, the activity has rebounded, and we see this year we should continue on a growth path.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. If I have any more queries, I'll get back in the question queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. And, sir, really appreciate the detailed presentation. So my question was on the housing space. During the last quarter when we had lockdown, how did the collections happen, and if you can share some color on, you know, like month wise collection efficiency for this segment?
So we track the collection efficiency on a quarterly basis. So if you look at from June 20, when the collection efficiency was 76%, it has now come to 95%. So in housing finance, we have seen a very good collection efficiency. It is nearly pre-COVID level. I think collection efficiency has picked up very well.
June 2021
quarter, it was about 95%.
Okay. And so when you say it is for the quarter, so is it, do you mean it is cumulative? Like for the 3 months, what was the demand and against that what you received, or are you saying that at the month, how do you look at that? How do I look at that?
Collectively for the 3 months, presentation made versus collection received is the percentage. Okay. March 21, it was 93%. June 21, it has improved to further 95%.
Okay. And sir, do you track something like 1 plus BPD number or something like that?
Yeah, we do track. That is an essential part of monitoring the collection branch to branch, region to region in Pan India. We do track 1 plus.
So what would that number be, sir, for our quarter one, like 1Q22?
Just a moment. For the period. So if we look at our stage one portfolio at a consolidated level.
Yeah.
We talk about MSME, it was 1,908 crore rupees, which is about 75%. And stage two was about 11.7%, which is about 298 crore. And stage three is about in MSME, 144 crore, about 5.7%. And if you talk about housing finance, then stage one.
So those numbers I have because I think stage three in housing is 1.9, stage two is 10.4.
Yes.
So, but 1+ DPD would be different, would be part of stage one, right?
Yes.
So how does that look like then?
That data we have to give you separately. We'll come back to you at the end of the call. You can again connect. Meanwhile, you can.
Sure. And sir, my question again on housing side, what percentage of our collections come through, online or through, say, bank, like any NACH system, and how much do we collect physically from the customers?
So if we understand, our more than 95% payment comes through either presentation of eNACH or by collection of check. And some of the payment, which are less than of total collection, about 5%, comes when the collection executive visits the customer, and immediately they collect some cash, maybe 15,000, 20,000 kind of a situation. And within 24 hours, we issue the receipt. Some of the collection executive immediately issue the receipt through their collection application on their mobile phone or tablets. So it is only less than 5%. Otherwise, all collection first are presented through electronically, and only on the bounce they have been called upon and some visits are made. And during those, some of the visits, some of the collection happen through cash, which is overall collection about less than 5%.
Okay. Okay. And sir, how are we seeing things evolving in the month of July for, say, for each of our segments, like in terms of business activity, as well as you highlighted that collections have further improved? So if you can just give some number perspective there.
July, I think July disbursement will be much better as compared to June. And we hope that we should be able to disburse close to 150 crore plus alone in the June. And we are targeting that this March we should be able to achieve a growth 20% upward.
Okay. For FY22, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And sir, in the housing space, again, like where we operate, we have some other peers also in the ecosystem who have similar geographical presence. But if you look at, they indicated that the quarter was a little challenging. So how do you evaluate 1Q, and how do you see going ahead the next 9 months of the year turning out for the housing space?
So everybody knows that Q1 was a challenging quarter for everyone because of the wave two where neither businesses were working nor our teams were on the ground to do the business of collection. So April, May, there was no disbursal happening, as I said earlier. And June onward, disbursement has started in a slow manner, which has picked up now in July. So hoping that in the next 9 months, with the better preparation by government and various other organizations, vaccination picking up, wave three should not have that kind of an impact. Hoping that, I think, even some slight challenges come for a lockdown in a specific pocket, even countering that, hoping that it will not be longer period, we should be able to grow. There's enough demand on ground, and we have a strong distribution system, people on the ground, and we are in this space for almost 9 years now. So with the branch presence 92, with the further emphasis on adding more branches during current year. We hope that our growth momentum will continue, as growth will be a regular feature with us in MSME and affordable housing segment.
So one last question. For our our customer segment, how do we, like, what percentage of our disbursements or our sourcing would be for ongoing construction and one time, like, for buying the house? So because what I'm trying to understand here is, if the construction is happening,
you are asking for housing finance related?
Yes, yes, only for housing finance.
Housing finance related, we don't fund under construction project anymore.
Acha, okay.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Okay, okay. So doesn't that take away an opportunity of a sustainability of disbursement?
So disbursement will, as I said, we are targeting growth. So every month on month, disbursement will keep happening. I think our growth will come from MSME and affordable housing. Construction finance vertical will remain more or less than 10% growth, but overall business will grow about 20%. So that will be backed by strong disbursement, and we hope to achieve that without any surprises.
Got it. Okay, so thank you so much for the detailed answers. I'll get back in the queue if there are questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Preeti Singh from Value Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions. So the first one, we are projecting an AUM growth of around 22% in the next 5 years. So could you please elaborate which segments would see major growth? And are there any new products in the pipeline? Also, the base is low, which is around 50 billion. So don't you think there's scope for more growth, more than 22% of growth?
So our main growth will keep happening from MSME and affordable housing. Our construction finance will deliver growth in a vertical wise about 10%, but MSME will deliver about 25% plus, and housing will deliver about 22% plus. So on a conservative basis, we hope that 22% growth we can achieve. We intend to add another 200 branches over a period of next 5 years' time, and that will be supportive to our growth. As far as new product is concerned, we are evaluating a couple of products, and once we shortlist, build the team, and do the technology and everything, we'll announce that once a reasonable progress has been made. But even without the new addition of the product, we will be able to achieve this growth. Number two, any new product we add, our core theme will remain the same, that we'll continue to cater to those segments whom banks are not doing because of lack of their, the way they are organized, the way they are not able to demonstrate their income proof documentation, and their entire transactions are, because of the nature of business, are not booked in the statement account. So new product, whatever, we are in consultation with BCG, Boston Consulting Group, and once they give their final findings and we are able to zero in upon the technology vendor and build the team, we'll come back and inform in a formal way, properly, in a real way. So our growth momentum, even without that, will continue, and if those we product we add, it will further give impetus to our growth.
Okay, got it, sir. And so we've opened around 5 new branches, but our OPEX cost is down quarter on quarter. So where have the savings been achieved to offset the cost of these branches? And what will be our full year guidance for cost income?
So our cost income ratio, whatever we have achieved in Q1, I think more or less it will remain in the same range. It will gradually come down, But with the addition of branches, I think it will be equilibrium between the OpEx versus the efficiency. Since we are adding few more branches, but on a conservative side, our cost to income ratio will not go up. It will slightly keep coming down.
Okay, and where, okay, and last.
Pretty Raj here. I would like to add to what Mr. Rajesh said. Most of our cost over a period of time, we have actually variabilized the cost, and it is also directly linked to the disbursements. And during the month or the quarter where the disbursements goes up, our cost goes up. As we have seen in quarter four, our cost to income ratio was 44%. But that is also offset by an equivalent amount in the other income, which is basically the processing fees and the legal and technical charges which we charge from the customer. To that extent, cost goes up, and to the same extent, our other operating income also goes up. On a standalone basis, in a normal quarter, our cost will remain, like Mr. Rajesh said, around 35% to 40% levels.
Okay, got it. And also, could you please, tell how your credit underwriting norms have changed in the last year or so? And have you changed in underwriting customers to ensure lower stress levels from incrementing lending?
So I think our underwriting standard and sourcing strategy continue to remain the same. Not that you change anything. Only in housing finance, because we are getting a cheaper fund, about 3%, being in the rural housing finance scheme, where they have a cap of we cannot earn a spread more than 6%. So to some extent, we are catering to those customers also in the formal salaried segment, about 8.5-9%, like government employees, kind of a target customer in that tier 3, tier 4 towns. But our sourcing and our underwriting remains the same. Target the customer which are not catered by banking system, and will continue to remain the same. There is no change in sourcing or underwriting strategy. Even in the worst time of pandemic and where businesses have been severely affected under the lockdown, our portfolio is secured by collateral, and loan to value in MSME is about 50%, in housing finance is about 57%. And even for a while, if they go under restructuring or they are NPA, it doesn't mean they are credit losses. By and large, you are able to recover the money. So it is a secured lending portfolio, and we'll continue to remain in this niche segment which we are catering to.
Right. And just the last question from my end. So on the credit cost, we have made very strong provisioning. So what will be our credit costs in FY22 and in FY23?
Preeti, we are in this quarter made a provision, and provisions plus the write-offs put together, the cost is around 150 basis points on the annualized basis. We expect this to remain at similar or a little lesser level in the next two quarters. And year-ending quarter, we are hopeful that, like I said, this will taper down to around 120 basis points for that particular quarter. So weighted average for the year will be around 130-135 basis points is our estimate. And that, in our opinion, should be sufficient for us to sail us through the actual credit losses we might have. FY13, actually, if the things picks up back again, wave 3 impact is not seen in FY23. Sorry. We are hopeful. Actually, we'll be seeing a reversal of the trend happening. Like what Rajesh was mentioning, that our portfolio is completely secured portfolio. And once this whole wave goes off and then we start recovering, we actually might end up seeing some of the reversals in some of the pockets from the provisions which we already created. But on a conservative basis, I think we should still say that next year also we should be in the range of around 80-100 basis points cost.
Okay, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one now. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yes. So thank you for attending the call. As we have stated, we will continue to drive our businesses on our stated strategy. MSME and affordable housing will continue to remain our key growth driver. And we will, after 2 year consolidation in the portfolio post ILFS, DHFL and this pandemic, I think we will, we are back on the growth trajectory. Last year we have grown about 20%, and this year we are aiming on a conservative basis to achieve 22% growth rate. And for next 5 years we will be consistently intend to deliver this growth, and we will have continue to remain a major focus on secured portfolio led by MSME and affordable housing. Construction finance, where we cater to a small developer, average ticket size of less than 8 crore, tier 3, tier 4 towns. That will grow at the pace of about 10%, and overall basis, that will remain less than 25% of the overall book. So thank you. We wish you all there to stay safe and stay healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors and Capri Global, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.